Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone, is Bobby Connor. I'm talking to him at his home in Moravian Falls, North Carolina. And Bobby, anytime I talk to someone from Moravian Falls, I know that they are moving in the supernatural. I hear so many stories about people having seeing or having visitations from angels in Moravian Falls. And I was reading in my notes about the time you had a visitation of 14 angels.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay. A man built a cabin here. A man asked my wife several years ago, said, "Do you think if I built a little cabin, Bobby would come stay here some?" So she said, "I don't know, ask him." So finally, I told him, yes, I would. So there was no buildings up in here at that time. So there was a little creek running, a beautiful little place. And so the man built a cabin, a little bitty small cabin. So we're dedicating this cabin after he got it built. So we're praying. It's around 9 o'clock at night. And as I'm praying, loud footsteps begin to sound inside the cabin. There's only two of us there, and neither one of us are moving. And this man squeezed my hands real, real tight, and he said, "I've got to leave, hadn't I?" And I said, "Yes." And so he left, and then I hear a noise out on the porch of this cabin. And Sid, I walked out there, and there was 14 to 18 angels, and they were dressed like pilgrims. Now, I'll tell you why they were dressed.
But wait a second. Just out of curiosity, had you had numerous angelic visitations before that, or was this a first?
No, I'd had angel visitations before that.
Okay.
So these angels were dressed like pilgrims because the Moravians had stationed them way back in the 1700s when the Moravians came through here, Zinzendorf, that group. And so the first question the angels asked me was this: "What took you so long?" I think they were talking about picking up the mantle and coming to the land and occupying the land. And so I stayed out on the porch. Now, this sounds crazy, but it's the truth. And I just fellowshipped and played with these angels. They would jump off the porch. They'd jump back on the porch. They were swinging in the porch swing. They'd swing around the post on the porch. Now, I'm absolutely awake. These are actual angels. And then all of a sudden, after about 45 minutes, one group got kind of quiet, and I looked, and they vanished. And I looked back, and the other group vanished. And then so it's about nearly 10 o'clock or 10:15 at night, so I walked back in the cabin, and I'm sitting there on a couch watching the fireplace burn, and I'm kind of chewing myself out. I thought, wow, I shouldn't have played around. I should have inquired of the Lord, et cetera, like that. And Sid, about that time, a heavy knock came on the door real hard. Now, remember, we're up in an isolated mountain in a cabin, no houses around. Whop, 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 the knock came. Startled me, my heart jumped up in my throat, and I said, "Come in." And a voice said, "No, you must come out." And Sid, I go to the door, open the door, and there stands Jesus Christ. Not a vision. I'm talking about Jesus standing there at the door of the cabin, and he had a bottle in his hand, which appeared to me that looked like a champagne bottle. And here's what he said to me. He said, "We're going to have a christening service, but you don't know anything about christening." That's what he said. And then he walked right past me, didn't stop in the living room where the fireplace was, went straight to the bedroom. And before, in just a flash, he took the bottle, struck the wall with it, and the bottle shattered, and an oil began to run down the wall. Now, watch this. I thought it. Now, I didn't say it. I thought it. I thought, oh, my. How am I going to explain to the man that built the cabin the first night something has happened to his wall? The moment I thought this, the Lord Jesus rebuked me. He said to me, he said, "You never have to attempt to apologize for what I do or explain what I do." Then he said, "Look," and he had me look at the wall, and the oil that was running down the wall in his cabin turned into a map of the world. Have you seen a war room where the map is laid out straight? You can see all the continents at one time.
Yes.
That's the way this was. See, and then the Lord took his finger and would point at the map, and where he would point would light up. And he said, "As you can only target what I target, or you'll become a target." And he stayed with me almost all night. Every hair on my body stood out like I'd been electrocuted. And it was the strangest thing. My wife was in Texas praying, "Oh, God, give Bobby a visitation." I'm in Moravian Falls praying, "Oh, God, don't kill Bobby." I'm telling you, for weeks, my hair, every hair on my body stood out like electricity.
But, my goodness. Now the places that he was pointing on the map, what was going to happen at these places?
He just told me, said, you can only target what I target or you'll become a target. When he would touch those places, he would show me some of the things he's going to do, some of the events that's going to take place there, good and bad. Well, I'll throw this one in. One of the places he pointed at was Kiev in the Ukraine.
Yes.
And here's what he said about Kiev. He said the largest revival in the history of mankind will spring from Kiev. And it's going to start in Kiev and run down to Russia. And he said it will mainly erupt in Russia with youth. And then he said, watch this. And he showed me like a, you remember in the old Western movies, they would light a powder keg. They would
right.
light a fuse.
Sure.
Remember? And that's what happened. He lit what looked like a fuse, and I saw a foot run up and try to stamp it out, which was Orthodox religion, and they couldn't stamp it out. And then I saw another foot run in and try to kick dust on it, and that was the mafia, but they couldn't stamp it out. So
it's interesting. Whenever I go to Russia or Ukraine, especially in Ukraine, especially in areas like Odessa and Kiev, where I've ministered, but especially Odessa, where every other person has Jewish ancestry, which is amazing. It's like an open heaven there.
Can I tell you what happened to me when I'm here in Moravian Falls? When we came up here to live, I go to a certain place, a certain big rock, and I'm sitting there looking out over the land, and I'm just praying, but I'm not really fervently praying. You know what I mean? I'm quietly waiting.
Right.
And Sid, the Lord Jesus Christ came and sat right down at my right. And here's what he said to me. He said, I've called you to this land to redeem it for its original purposes. I said, Lord, what is that? He said, it's the salvation of the Native American and the protection of the Jews. Get under this rock. That's exactly what he told me.
Hmm.
And there's a rock, a great big rock about the size of, a big room and house. And then he said, get under this rock. And I protested. I said, Lord, I can't get under this rock. And he said, get under this rock. And I looked, and there was a lip and a cleft under this rock. So I climbed under the rock, and as I'm pushing with my hand to keep from falling, a rock fell off in my hand about the size of a dinner plate. And he said, what's that in your hand? And I said, why? I looked at it. It's a perfect cutout of the state of North Carolina. And so I showed it to Rick Joyner. He said, keep that. That's a sign. But the Lord told me, he said, I'm calling you here to this land to for its original purpose, the salvation of the Native Americans and the protection of the Jews. Isn't that strange?
I have heard that about that particular land before. Now, when the Lord visited you, he talked about it's time for you to pick up your mantle. What is your mantle?
I tell you, our mantle, I believe, is really just being a prophet to the nations and just trying to show people that the Lord does speak to them. John 10:3 says, my sheep hear my voice. John 10:27 says, and they will follow me, and otherwise they'll not follow. So I believe we need to train the people of God to clearly and concisely hear the voice of God.
And you also talk in your new book that we're making available, God's Supernatural Power, about walking in the anointing. Most people don't even have a clue what that terminology means. What does that mean?
It means doing the works that Jesus Christ did through the same power that Jesus Christ did through while he was walking here on earth. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the verses we use in our new book is Psalms 92:10. Says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. This fresh oil anointing will release my strength like that of a wild ox. And we need anointing. If we study the Bible in the New Testament, Jesus did no mighty miracles until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Acts 10:38 tells us God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so that's what we've got to have. We've got to have that anointing of the power of God.
Now, I'd say the number one thing in addition to that, though, but the number one thing is what you said just previous, and that is hearing God's voice. Is it just becoming aware, or is there something else we can do to hear his voice clearer?
I tell them intimacy. Nothing will intensify hearing like intimacy. My wife and I have been married over 43 years. If she called me and I go, who is this? Woo, we're in trouble. But see, I should be able to tell whether she's happy or sad just by the inflection of her voice. And so that's what we've got to do. We've got to become very, very intimate with the voice of God.
Tell me some practical things we can do to accelerate this.
Number one, we've got to learn. We've lost the real art of getting still before the Lord. Psalms 46:10-11 says, be still and know. And it, you know, we're in a very fast-paced world, and this world tries to get us so busy till we don't have that time of meditating upon the Lord, waiting before Him. And so we need to learn how to shut the world out. Remember, it says, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Now, we can't spend time, you know, 24 hours a day in a closet, but we need to learn how, in a fast-paced world, to get alone with God, you know, to shut the world out and put our focus on the Lord. And one of the ways to do that is the Word of God and getting still. I like to listen to real soft praise music. You know, there's terms out now called about soaking and marinating and stuff like that. But I believe it's good to be still and just wait before the Lord.
Did God show you anything about these radio shows that we're doing right now?
I'll tell you what we've got to do. God is going to initiate a hunger in the hearts of the people, but God's going to start releasing prophetic words to people. Here's what I saw. I see right now there's a woman listening. Her name is Ruth. Her last name starts with an L, but she's got a wayward daughter. Ruth has a wayward daughter that's been away from home and away from the teachings of the family and away from the things that she was trained in, but God's going to bring her back. And she goes by Nicole now. I don't think that's her real name. I think it's almost like a nickname that she's picked up for herself. But I want to encourage Ruth that her daughter's going to come home. Her daughter will be back home, and it's going to be a wonderful time. I see the month by November, by this coming November, Ruth's daughter will be back home, and it'll be as though she never really broke fellowship with the home. So I'm very excited about that.
Now, are you hearing what you're saying? Are you seeing a vision? What's going on?
Okay. While I was talking to you a moment ago when I said that Jesus came and sat on the rock, and then I saw this woman named Ruth, and I saw that she's been praying. She's listening to the program. She's been praying for her daughter.
You saw this like in a vision? Or
yeah,
you actually...
I really did. I just saw it up in the air is what I would call it, because we're doing this interview from my home in Moravian Falls, and I can see my office, and I can see the house here. But
listen, how would you like Bobby Connor to mentor you in hearing God's voice, in walking in the anointing, in becoming a participant rather than a spectator? His new book will do it, God's Supernatural Power, available for donation of $20. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.